Welcome. It's so good to have you with us, and I pray that this time together will be a time that feeds you and blesses you. Let's take just a moment to open in prayer. Dearest Lord, we thank you for this chance to gather, even though we can't gather physically, for the means that we have on this day to still gather, to connect, to worship together. We pray, Lord, that on this day that you would continue to draw us ever closer to you and to each other. We pray that you would feed us, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that you would help us to center in you, to be encouraged and blessed, but also strengthened. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our first reading this morning is from the Psalms. And somehow it seems quite appropriate to our situation. Hear God's word from Psalm 130. Help, God. The bottom has fallen out of my life. Master, hear my cry for help. Listen hard. Open your ears. Listen to my cries for mercy. If you, God, kept records on wrongdoings, who would stand a chance? As it turns out, forgiveness is your habit, and that's why you're worshipped. I pray to God, my life a prayer, and I wait for what he'll say and do. My life's on the line before God, my Lord. Waiting and watching till morning. Waiting and watching till morning. Oh, Israel, wait and watch for God. With God's arrival comes love. With God's arrival comes generous redemption. No doubt about it, he'll redeem Israel, buy back Israel from captivity to sin. Who of us doesn't feel right now like the bottom has fallen out of our lives? So many unexpected changes, and not just to a few, but to all of us. And all we can do in this time is wait for God. And we are waiting. This time brings many challenges, and we have many challenges as God's people. Trying to do our best, but also running into roadblocks, into ways that we stumble and fall. And so let's continue now with our prayers of confession. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you hate nothing you've made and forgive the sins of all who are penitent. Create and make in us new and contrite hearts, that we, worthily lamenting our sins and acknowledging our weakness, may obtain from you, the God of all mercy, perfect remission and forgiveness through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Let's continue in our prayers with a moment of silent prayers. Amen. We have a God who understands us, who knows where we are strong and knows where we are weak. A God who loves us, a God who is continually seeking us, a God who forgives us when we're able to acknowledge that we failed. On this day, know and never doubt that in Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Thanks be to God. Amen. Well, we have many, many prayers today, don't we? And I want you to know that I never stop praying for you, especially during these challenging times. And I invite you to reach out as you feel comfortable, letting me know how I can pray for you. We, this morning especially, remember those who are alone. Those who are feeling very alone and isolated We pray for those who are struggling with all kinds of challenges, losing jobs and livelihood and wondering how needs will be met. Those who are struggling with illnesses and weaknesses on top of the fears of what's going on. Those who are afraid to connect with others and who are trying to keep in isolation to respect the needs of others. We pray for those who've lost loved ones, for the many right now who are not even able to celebrate the lives of those lost. We pray for the first responders, for those who are risking their lives that we might stay alive. And we pray for those who are even invisible to us, but the ones stocking the shelves, the ones cleaning, the ones caring in so many ways. So let us turn to God with our prayers. Let us pray. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Almighty God, we pray for your church universal, and we pray for this congregation and its mission and its ministry, especially during these uncertain times. We pray that you would show us how we might support our community in ways that we might never have even imagined, where we can reach out and encourage. We pray for the healing of this earth, Lord, in so many ways, for our environment, but also for our people. We pray for answers about this virus, and we pray for those who are trying to find those answers and trying to care for others, even at the risk of their own lives. We pray, Lord, for our local community. But we also pray, Lord, for the wider community, knowing that we are part of your world with brothers and sisters everywhere that we haven't even met yet. We pray for peace, Lord, in a world that has been filled with such chaos and such division. We pray that you might bring us all together, unite us, and help us to put our distances and our differences aside, knowing that together we can find answers. Together we can find peace and joy. We pray for our nations, Lord, and for our leaders. We pray that they might use wisdom going forward, that they might consider the needs of all and not just a few. Lord, we pray for the poor, for the oppressed, for those who are bereaved and lonely, for all those who are in need of healing, Lord. We pray and we lift up all those mentioned, all those thought of, all those prayers that are upon our hearts and minds that we can hardly find the words to express. We pray, Lord, that you would guide us by your Holy Spirit, that all our prayers and all our lives may serve your will and show your love. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. My friends, our lesson today, again, comes from the lectionary readings for this Lenten time. And our lesson comes from Romans 8, 3 through 11. Hear God's word from Romans. God went for the jugular when he sent his own son. He didn't deal with a problem as something remote and unimportant. In his son Jesus, he personally took on the human condition, entered this disordered mess of struggling humanity in order to set it right once and for all. The law code, weakened as it always was by fractured human nature, could never have done that. The law always ended up being used as a band-aid on sin instead of a deep healing of it. And now what the law code asks for, but we couldn't deliver, is accomplished as we, instead of redoubling our own efforts, simply embrace what the Spirit is doing in us. Those who think they can do it on their own end up obsessed with measuring their own moral muscle, but never get around to exercising it in real life. And those who trust God's action in them find that God's Spirit is in them, living and breathing God. Obsession with self in these matters is a dead end. Attention to God leads us out into the open, into spacious, free life. Focusing on the self is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God, ends up thinking more about self than God. And that person ignores who God is and what God is doing. And God isn't pleased at being ignored. But if God himself has taken up residence in your life, you could hardly be thinking of yourself more than of him. And anyone, of course, who's not welcome this invisible but clearly present God, the Spirit of Christ, won't know what we're talking about. But for you who welcome him, in whom he dwells, even though you still experience all the limitations of sin, you yourself experience life on God's terms. It stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. God lives and breathes in you, and he does, as surely as he did in Jesus. You are delivered from that dead life. With his Spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ's. Let's take just a moment of silent prayer. Amen. My friends, there's a story about an iron worker on a huge skyscraper who just calmly walked this narrow beam 15 floors above the city street. And even with the strong winds blowing and all kinds of crazy weather, none of it seemed to even bother him. Well, one time after he came down from the heights, a man who'd been watching him came up and he asked him, "How in the world do you do a job like that?" And the iron worker responded, he said, "Well, I used to drive a school bus, but my nerves gave out. I just couldn't take it." Well, I'm guessing that parents confined at home with kids right now can probably identify with the iron worker. You might almost wish and prefer to be up on that scaffolding. And of course, kudos out to all of our bus drivers. But amazing how we're all made so differently, and how what is scary to one person is a blessing to someone else, or something that they love and enjoy. I've always been fascinated by these differences, but also I've always been frustrated and disappointed in this false sense of who has value and who doesn't have value, and what roles are important and what roles are unimportant, when we need everyone and we need all of these many skills and talents and interests. And it's sad to me, it's really sad to me, that it would take a pandemic to expose some of these people now as the heroes they really are. People giving selflessly, whether they're shown appreciation or not. And for those of you out there who feel unappreciated, I want you to know you are appreciated and you are valued. This world is a crazy place. And part of the problem is that so often we get caught up in the world's notion that the important people are the ones with the money, the ones with the fame, and the ones with the power. And that it should be our goal to be one of those. Well, the thing is, it's just a big lie. It is. And yet it's a lie that is hard to conquer in our own lives. So often we feel we don't have value. And we struggle with that. I think if only I could be like XYZ, fill in the blank. And then we think of all kinds of reasons why we ourselves just don't measure up, don't have value. I know even when I was in seminary, I at times felt very unworthy. I would look around and I'd see all these smart people around me, people who were so accomplished, it seemed in so many ways. People who knew their Bible backwards and forwards, and who could quote, and I have a terrible memory. I can scarcely remember my own name some days. And so I kept wondering, why me, God? Why am I here? And how can I even begin to do anything that all these other people are able to do? Well, King Duncan tells about a young clergywoman named Vicky Flippin who remembers a retreat that she once attended, led by a woman named Tilda Norberg. At one point, Tilda asked the attendees to do something called speaking truth to lies. And she asked them to write down two or three lies about themselves that they needed to get rid of. And what they were looking at, the kinds of stories that we tell ourselves, like, gee, if I weigh more than 120 pounds, no one will ever find me attractive. Or because I can no longer move the way I used to, I'll never be whole or well again. Or I don't have a problem with drugs or alcohol, I'm fine. Or if I weren't so needy or noisy or nosy, the abuse would stop. It's me. I'm doing something wrong. There are lies that we live our lives by, and lies that we die little deaths by, says Vicky. The kind of lies that Tilda asked them to write down. And Tilda, then after everyone had written down their personal lies, she had them break out into little groups and to share some of those lies about themselves that they'd written down. Vicky shared two of her own lies with the group, two that kind of sound familiar. The first one was, I am not as important as my colleagues. And the second one, my worth is dependent on what other people think of me. Can anyone relate to those? I know I can. Vicky says that in her group, there was a young Nigerian pastor named Michael. And Michael later told her that as a black man, when he sat in meetings with all white pastors, he struggled with those same lies that Vicky did. That I'm not as important as my colleagues, and my worth is dependent on what other people think of me. Michael held in his hands those written pieces of paper with Vicky's lies. And then he looked straight into Vicky's eyes. And he said, something like this. Vicky, I declare with the authority of the gospel of Jesus Christ, these are lies, that you are created in the image of God and that Jesus Christ abides in you and you abide in Christ. And this is where you get your worth. I declare with the authority of the gospel of Jesus Christ that you are every bit as much a child of God as anyone. I declare with the authority of the gospel of Jesus Christ that you will bear fruit for God's vineyard through the power of God that is within you. And then he handed Vicky those two pieces of paper. She tore them up and she tossed them on the floor as a way to show herself and everyone in that room that the power of God was removing those lies from her life. Can you sense the power in that exercise? Sounds like something that we might want to try ourselves, right? Because each of us has lies like that that are keeping us from living the free life that God wants us to live. A life of confidence, a life of love, a life of generosity, a life of peace. Knowing that God's right there, that we have value, and that we can be used by God in amazing ways. As the scripture says, those who think they can do it on their own end up obsessed with measuring their own moral muscle, but never get around to exercising it in real life. And that's so true. Because, you know, when we don't have that confidence, then we feel like we've got to do it all ourselves. And we get so busy doing it all ourselves that we don't leave any room for God. And in addition, we don't end up doing the things that God is really wanting us to do, because we don't even know what they are, because we've locked God out. Scripture goes on to say, obsession with self in these matters is a dead end. Attention to God leads us out into the open, into a spacious, free life. And don't we all say we want to be free? In fact, so often I run into people who are very resistant to coming to know God because they're afraid that it means giving up their freedom. And they can't understand that it's in giving up our idea of freedom that we really become free through God. And again, the scriptures say, focusing on the self is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God, ends up thinking more about self than God. And we can all admit our guilt to that, right? We've all had those times, maybe more often than we'd like to admit, when we are so consumed by our own little worlds that we hardly give God a thought. We mean well, but our focus is just on the wrong things and in the wrong place. And really knowing who we are is where our life truly begins. How amazing is that, right? That's where it really begins. As Maya Angelou once told an interviewer, when I found that I was a child of God, when I understood that, when I comprehended that, when I internalized that, I became courageous. I dared to do anything that was a good thing. Wow. Yeah. When we focus on God and our identity as a child of God, we are given a courage beyond our own abilities. We're given a desire to get out and do what is right. My friends, as you look at your own life, what is getting in your way? Do you know who you really are? Is your identity caught up in titles, job titles, in recognition, in congratulations on your great work, on what you have, on your accomplishments? Or is your identity simply being a child of God? That's a big deal. It's a big deal. And that all begins with focusing on God. He'll point the way to where we need to be. He'll give us the strength to get there. He'll guide us. It won't always be easy, but we'll have the confidence of knowing that we're living our lives as we should. We'll have the confidence of knowing who we really are. We'll have the confidence and the peace from the power of God. Let us pray. Dearest Lord God, help us to identify and release the lives we've been clinging to. Help us instead to center in you and your purpose for us. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.